This looks like opening day, though, doesn't it? This smells like an opening day lineup.
Really close. The only thing that I would ask about the lineup would be, well, where's, you know, is Devin Travis going to be healthy? Mm-hmm. Two, is Randall Grichuk going to be part of it? That's the one missing piece. I had talked to Randall, and I actually talked to Charlie Montoyo on the pregame show Saturday, and he made it sound like Randall Grichuk was going to play three straight days in a row. The bonus is the off day in the middle, but get him on the field defensively on Saturday, DH on Sunday, and then one position or another today, Tuesday. So it'd get him 3 days in a row. And this is just, you know, with the concern of that plantar fasciitis that flared up in his left foot. I expected him to be in the lineup today. And if that was the case, this would be very close to an opening day lineup for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Right. Plantar fasciitis is such a nagging thing too, isn't it?
It is, and you talk to the guys that have to really endure this, especially like Randall Grichuk, right? He needs to have some speed part of his game in the outfield, and to get even comfortable in the batter's box, you got to shake this thing. And he's adamant that this right now, where he is right now, is more preventative than anything else, and just managing the pain. So I'm not reading too much into missing this day, but it's more important in the weeks coming up for Randall to make sure his body's comfortable so he gets a much better start than what he did last year to the regular season.
So Clay Buchholz has been signed by the Blue Jays. It is official now. We don't know about Bud Norris yet. I don't know if we know about Bud Norris yet. But what does Clay Buchholz's signing mean? You know, a lot of people, Ben, have kind of jumped ahead and said, well, that puts Ryan Barucki under the microscope. Does it really? Like, I find it hard to believe that Ryan Barucki's not in this staff going north.
I think Ryan Barucki is going to round out the starting five in the rotation.
Right.
I think Clay Buchholz gives the Blue Jays a veteran, somebody that can go out and on the heels of a pretty good year with the Arizona Diamondbacks, come out and also be, one, a solution to a rotation that did have some gaps. And also somebody that can go out and if necessary, I don't think they want to go this route, talking with people around here. They want him in the rotation. But if push comes to shove, if they can deepen the rotation eventually, maybe an option for the bullpen. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility, but I think Ryan Barucki is still part of the equation in the starting five. I think the bigger question mark is where Clayton Richard factors into all this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some.
I don't think he's going to be a bullpen. I really don't. I don't think he's going to be.
Okay, because I know there was some discussion about that, but you also wonder if that's what Clayton Richard signed up for as well, hey?
Right. That's true.
Using words.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, right. Exactly. I don't, if they need a long guy, if they need, they're desperate to have that category, maybe that's where Clayton Richard comes back in. But for a guy to go in and get outs, and it's nothing against Clayton Richard. I mean, but I need a guy that's got a swing and miss pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And he's better. He's a better option for the rotation or depth in rotation or that long guy, that emergency long guy, just in case. And maybe they don't need the fifth starter, and that's why Ryan Barucki ends up in Buffalo and they keep Clayton Richard, you know, just in case over the first couple of days. Because the schedule's kind of wild. You start with the homestand and then you go on the road trip to Boston. You've got two off days there. So things could get kind of funky with how they work the rotation at the start of the regular season.
Right. Hey, what have you seen so far at camp that has really impressed you, Ben?
Well, I mean, every day we're watching Vladimir Guerrero Jr. do things on the field. He's watching him with the naked eye. His sprint speed up the first baseline is really aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple of guys, though, that have really stood out are the young guys. And Charlie Montoyo has been adamant. The way you get guys comfortable, the way you figure out some of the growing pains is by playing the kids. That's how you play them. So watching Bo Bichette and Kevin Biggio get extra reps in maybe situations that the previous couple of years a younger player would not get. You know, that's been exciting to see. And having these kids get two or three at-bats in a game. The energy of this camp has definitely stood out. the focus on the fundamentals. They're doing rundowns. They're doing cutoff drills. They're doing defensive mechanic drills daily, even on the big diamond, where this stuff on the backfield has gone by the wayside. They are actually going out and they're doing this extra work to improve the defense. And I think that's where a lot of the new front office, working with the new coaching staff, they found major, major gaps where the Blue Jays could improve. And talking with the coaches, they think that just honing in on the skills and the fundamentals could make a big difference, where this team is ready to go and playing crisper at the start of the regular season. So watching this happen is a big thing. We've noticed this on the broadcast and noted it a couple of times too in different conversations. The catchers are much more aggressive, and you're seeing back picks and throwdowns and disruptive play all around trying to manage the running game. So these little things that the catching corps, the pitching staff, and everybody on the diamond is working for, you know, that's kind of been refreshing to see how this team is going to orchestrate once the regular season starts. Dalton Pompey's had a really nice start to spring training, to be honest with you. And of course he's under the microscope, and everybody knows that it'd be tough to point at one guy that could be a leadoff man for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yep.
But if you were to say, here's the mold of a leadoff man that you're looking for, Dalton Pompey's it. Switch hitter, good speed, great raw tools, and he's having a very important pocket now of camp where he can separate himself from the pack and force the Blue Jays to make a decision. You know, keep him on the 25-man roster because he's out of options, or display himself for somebody else that's out there too. But the way that he's come into camp and, you know, his attitude has been outstanding. And Teoscar Hernandez, I know it's spring training, but you know, he's had a really solid approach at the plate. His swing looks a little bit shorter and more compact, and he's had a really nice start, and he looks much more comfortable in the outfield, which he spent a lot of the time in the Dominican working on too. And Mark Budzinski, the first base coach who's worked directly with Teoscar, went down and spent some time with him this winter, and you can see the improvement.
Tell you what, if Dalton Pompey can somehow make this team, you want to talk about found money? I mean, my goodness.
House money. I mean, you're playing with house money at this point, right? Where this guy had become a forgotten man. One with the off the field issues, and then the injury issues, and just beyond that, dealing with the concussions. You have no idea how somebody's body will respond with severe concussions that he sustained while playing in AAA Buffalo a couple of years ago, and the concussion that he had in the WBC. It's a great comeback story if this happens for Dalton Pompey and it produces for the Toronto Blue Jays.
It's pretty clear from everything we've read, everything we've heard, that Freddie Galvis has made a real impression around this team off the field. And, you know, people who covered him in San Diego or in Philadelphia will tell you, I mean, he was a very popular guy with his teammates. What has he got on the field? What is he giving this team on the field? Ben, and do you think are we probably looking at Galvis and Gurriel, you know, Gurriel at second, Galvis at shortstop if the season were to start right now because of Travis's injury?
100%. I don't think there's any question that Gurriel is your starting second baseman. Freddie Galvis is going to be the shortstop and handle a lot of the shortstop duties for the Blue Jays. Take the scenario, if the season were to start today, out of it, I think this is what you're looking at moving forward if Devin Travis isn't going to be part of it. And that's good news. You got Gurriel's bat. If he can improve defensively, and that's part of the fundamentals where you're seeing a lot of reps with Gurriel at second base. But Freddie is got a good glove, a steady glove. He's got good range to the whole side, which you need. Up the middle, of course, is important. And he's got a pretty good arm, and it's strong and it's accurate. And one thing that I liked about Freddie, rarely have you seen, you know, a laissez-faire flip towards first base. Mm-hmm. He gets it and he cuts it loose. And I think that's really important. And that's a good message to send to everybody else that's watching in terms of the younger players and the standard that Freddie is setting up to make sure that he plays when asked by Charlie Montoyo, wherever the Blue Jays manager asked him to play. You can see the impact on the field. I don't know that he's going to hit. to have this breakout season. I don't think he's, this great hitter, but what he can do and has consistently done with the glove, and that's also stay on the field. And that's some consistency that the Blue Jays desperately need.
You mentioned Kevin Biggio a little earlier. What are the plans for him this year? I mean, clearly he seemed to be ticketed to AAA, although, he's a lefty hitter. And he's a guy that the organization likes, and he's a very important part of their young, if you want to call it that, young leadership core going forward. What do you think the optimal season is for Kevin Biggio?
I think for Kevin, it's a numbers game right now, and you have to look at how the AAA roster. I don't think it's a lock that he goes to AAA right away.
Okay.
You got Rowdy Tellez going to first base in AAA, and how much first base you're going to have Rowdy play. Maybe he starts at AA, and things have a way of working themselves out in that case. But if he starts at AAA, that's great. He goes out there. I think he's going to play multiple positions, and I think if he has a consistent season, he's a definite right now for September, and see how that translates. That's what I think would be the best case scenario for Kevin Biggio without rushing him and getting him to the big leagues. I don't think that he's going to be one of the guys that you necessarily find pushing their way in April or May, trying to get on the major league roster right away. I think that for even a college product like he was at Notre Dame, some of the tools are there, but they're again working on a number of things offensively and smoothing out the swing and also trying to make sure he can play multiple positions.
The bullpen is probably not getting as much focus, as much chatter as it has in the past. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious Ken Giles is going to be the guy, and they got Ryan Tepera. But one of the things I'm interested in, and I don't know if there's been much discussion about this, is, we've heard Charlie Montoyo at least refer to the concept of the opener. And no idea if it's going to be a regular part of the Blue Jays, their daily plan or anything like that. But do we have an idea yet of who might fill that role if they were to go that way?
No. And I can't put my thumb down if it's going to be a scenario like that, where you're looking for a one or two inning guy. I don't think you want, we're just reading the tea leaves in conversations around here. If they do float a day or two out there where they use an opener, are they necessarily committed to just having it be one inning? I get the sense that they'd love to have somebody go to two innings as an opener. And you need somebody that's going to go out there and throw strikes and also not get burned. The guy that I think could do it would be Ryan Tepera. He's had starting experience in the past. He does have good stuff. And he's got the durability to be a multi-inning guy. Now, that would disrupt how you work the back end of a ball game around that opener scenario.
Right.
Because I really like how it's stacked up right now with Ryan Tepera, Bud Norris, then to Ken Giles. I like that 7-8-9 way that they've got it stacked up. But Ryan Tepera would be my option right now for the guys that are available to go out there if that's the case. Because some of the guys that appeared in the bullpen last year, like Thomas Pinone, and we mentioned Clayton Richard too. Those are basically starters.
Right.
if you're going to start them in an opener scenario, you might as well start them and let them go four or five innings. But I think if they take the mold from what, Charlie's been peppered by these questions just because of his connection to the Tampa Bay Rays. If he were to take that, I think Ryan Tepera would be the first choice.
What do you make of the Bud Norris signing? I mean, this is a guy who had some issues, allegedly, in St. Louis. I mean, there was, talk about Jordan Hicks and some of the issues he may have had with him. It seemed like an odd individual to bring into this clubhouse, given what the composition is going to be. Now, having said that, I mean, as I mentioned on Monday, Ken Giles, when the Jays acquired him, a lot of people thought, whoa, you're getting this combustible guy. Ken Giles has turned into a pretty decent citizen in this clubhouse, I think, at least from a distance it looks that way. But what do the Jays think they have in Bud Norris, and how concerned are they, do you think?
just to piggyback your comment about Ken Giles, I've really enjoyed getting to know Ken since the trade.
Yeah.
And he was my pregame guest over the weekend, and you heard a lot of his personality. I think he was a guy that was very frustrated, and that kind of boiled to the top last mm-hmm. year. And he has completely wiped the slate clean and feels very comfortable in a new city and in his new position as well with the Blue Jays, and he's excited to be here. And I thought you could hear all of that in our pregame conversation. It didn't seem guarded at all. And I actually asked a couple of baseball executives and people in the Blue Jays clubhouse this past weekend about Bud Norris because of exactly what got in there. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, everybody agreed that the headlines may have sensationalized it a little bit and blown it up, mm-hmm. especially going back with the values and the ideals that have kind of been brought to the forefront with where the Blue Jays are heading. But also, one baseball executive told me, Bud Norris will tell you, a player, a coach, a front office member, what he thinks and what he feels. So get ready for an unfiltered answer. And that is why I think Bud Norris kind of got the report, and then that kind of snowballed on him as he was asked about it and his thoughts and feelings around what unfolded last year. So the Blue Jays seemingly will know that, and mm-hmm. they also know the kind of personality. So now that that's come out, I think also his teammates are going to know that. So if Bud Norris is coming to you, he's coming to you with his truth and what he feels. So, and feeling that and knowing that already the Blue Jays know that too, I think that kind of made it a little bit more palatable for them to mm-hmm. go out and say, all right, this guy's going to be a part of our future.
Yeah, I mean, you cannot criticize a guy for being honest if it comes for the right reasons, right? And if it's being done for the right reasons, it's something you can probably manage.
Right, and that's what you want if you want to create a culture where players and wins and losses are accountable, and they want to have guys, and where leadership is going to be important, right? Mm-hmm. In the clubhouse of 2019. And that was a buzzword for, about the first 10 days of camp and leadership and finding it. And now you've got a couple of individuals out there that are trying to set the standard.